All right, guys, I watched Queen Charlotte, which is going to be Netflix's top show almost, so that you don't have to. Let's talk about it. What's up, guys, and happy Wednesday. I'm your host, Amala Epinobi. We have Taylor in Nashville.
Beer, beer, beer. Happy Wednesday.
And Cam in the producer's bay.
What's up, guys? Mike's on this time.
Mike's on this time, brother.
Got it.
Let me know what you guys are up to today down in the chat below. Today, we're going to talk and focus the show around Queen Charlotte. I saw a tweet this morning that says Queen Charlotte is on track to become one of the most viewed Netflix shows of all time. And there is the actress who plays Queen Charlotte chilling right there in frame. I did take the time to actually watch this show, and I will tell you, I didn't all around hate everything about it, especially as a woman who loves romance movies and period dramas. Watching this, I thought, okay, I can get behind some of these characters. Did I cry at the end with what happened with the Queen Charlotte and King George? Absolutely. But today we're going to talk about a different aspect of that show. And that is the very prevalent race swapping right now that is happening in a lot of period dramas, and virtually every film that's getting created right now is pushing forward a lot of forced diversity. So we're going to talk about this through the lens of looking at the show Queen Charlotte. Taylor hasn't seen it.
I have not.
You've abstained from watching this show, not only because it's maybe like romancy and, you know, a little girly.
Yeah, I mean, that is the main reason, probably. I'm not probably in the target demographic for this show, so that's fine.
Right. I'm going to try not to spoil much of what happens, because I know there are plenty of you who are probably going to end up watching this show at some point. And like I said, there are elements of this show that I really did like. I think the actress that plays Queen Charlotte, and her name is actually escaping me. Let me find her name while we're at this. But she does a really good job. Her name is India, and she's fantastic in this role. Although I don't necessarily agree with the race swapping, I do think it's important to point out that this is a show of fiction. It's not being marketed as a historical documentary like, say, Queen Cleopatra on Netflix, which we'll have a whole nother video coming out about this week. So it's being marketed as fiction, and that's one thing to point out and give them a little bit of grace for. But I take a little bit of issue with taking real historical figures and race swapping them for the modern day audience. And it's not just what they've done with Queen Charlotte in that character. They've done it with a lot of the other supposedly elites of England at the time that are represented in this show. Lady and Lord Danbury, who you see present as characters in this show, are both played by black actors. And you'll see a lot of the side characters in this show be played by a diverse cast. And this is not something that is new to the Bridgerton story. Both season one and season two have this sort of race swapping retelling of England back in this time. And it's just wholly inaccurate, I think, is what needs to be pointed out there. It is simply wholly inaccurate. And there has been a lot of speculation and people coming back and saying, well, wait a second, because Queen Charlotte could have possibly had African ancestry. And there is some sort of historical back and forth between people who study this period and study Queen Charlotte that maybe she was mixed, or maybe she did have black features, or maybe she in fact was a black woman. Now, we want to take a moment to just look at some of the images that people are referencing to make this claim for Queen Charlotte being black. Here is one portrait from her time, and notice that the portraitist or the artist who drew these and painted these is a man by the name of Sir Alan Ramsay. He also put together this one of Queen Charlotte, and many are going back and saying, well, look, she's got big lips, she's got a wider nose, there are a few historical remarks of her maybe being a darker skin tone and being called ugly in a few historical remarks about Queen Charlotte. But I do want to note that Sir Alan Ramsay, the guy who painted these portraits, is a known abolitionist, and his family are abolitionists. So it is speculated that he may have just painted you know, blacker features on Queen Charlotte to put together a certain narrative. She was also deeply loved by apparently the black residents in England at the time, possibly for her features and the way that she was depicted. But we also have this portrait that was not done by Sir Alan Ramsay of Queen Charlotte. So you guys tell me. I mean, the majority of Queen Charlotte's portraits are in this vein where she looks quite like this. So it's really interesting to have this now depiction in a story like Bridgerton of Queen Charlotte, who is a real historical figure, as being a black woman. And I get that people want representation, that people want to spin a narrative, that people want young black girls and, you know, just people of color in general to be able to see themselves in the movies that they're watching. But to that, I say, why not just make a story about somebody who was historically black? Why not just do that and make a movie for them and, you know, market it to whoever wants to watch it? And if people of color want that representation, there they will be. Why go and change the historical depiction of a period where we by and large know that this was not the case, that this is not what Queen Charlotte was walking around looking like? I really just don't understand it. And again, it's all of these movies being created in this year or in the past really few years that are going to be stamped with the time that they're made because of the great liberties that they take for the sake of ideology. And like I said, Bridgerton has done this for every single season of the show that it has created so far. So a lot of people are relying on maybe this historical back and forth about whether or not Queen Charlotte is black. It doesn't account for all of the other race swapping that Bridgerton has done throughout its series. And the fact that Shonda Rhimes and its other creators remark about how this is such an exquisite push for diversity in films. I'm all for diversifying films, okay, and, you know, casting black actors and Indian actors and Hispanic people, but do so where it's accurate, if you can, which is what we're going to talk about in the Queen Cleopatra video that's coming out later this week. You had a brilliant opportunity to cast an Egyptian or Greek actress for the role of Queen Cleopatra, which is, you know, two groups that are not often cast in roles for the big screen, yet you overlooked them to cast a black person to fit your narrative. And now here we are. And if you don't think that Bridgerton and its creators and its actors are highly cognizant of the fact that they're doing this, here is an interview from the Kelly Clarkson show back when season two of Bridgerton was receiving all of its hype.
Oh, Chamathar, social media has praised casting darker-skinned Indian actors. So what has this meant for you?
Colorism has existed at different times throughout history.
Yeah.
And I think it is particularly pervasive in countries in Asia and in Africa and South Asia and East Asia because of, well, one, colonialism, and second, to do with class and caste. And so, you know, it's a daily struggle for us because we're never allowed to forget it. And it, I always say it feels kind of violent to me because it comes from within your own community.
Yeah.
And so I just hope that Simone and I being in the show can help dark-skinned people of all races to feel beautiful and to feel seen and to feel worthy of love.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's pause. You know, these are wonderful motivations for doing something that I would characterize as probably not best in the long term. I understand the reasons for wanting representation and for making moves like this, but she specifically harkens back to a history of colonialism that she says is foundational to why people have these views and, you know, racist and colorist views in today's time. If we want to remark upon that history, wouldn't you tell the story of colonialism instead of completely rewriting what was happening? And she is an actress who's prevalent in Bridgerton season two, and she plays one of the Sharmas, which is an Indian family that makes it over to England in order to marry some of the elites in the area and, you know, gain a marital contract of privilege within England. And here they are depicted. These are the Sharmas along with Lady Danbury. And you gotta look at this picture and think this would not have been seen in the time period that we are talking about, and if so, it would have been rarely seen. So now you have three Indian actresses who have been cast in a role to essentially rewrite the history of colonialism, even though this is through a fictional lens, mind you. This period that they are remarking upon in creating this show around in Bridgerton is the exact period that India would have been colonized by England. And that there would have been great feuds and judgment between, you know, the people in both lands. But now we have a retelling in Bridgerton of this Indian family coming over to England and marrying, you know, some of the elites in the area. They even at one point do an Indian tradition and a wedding ceremony known as Haldi between these Indian women in the show before getting married to one of the white elites in England, played by Jonathan Bailey. So I'm just confused here, because so often people on the conservative end of things or the right-leaning side of politics get accused of erasing history and not wanting to tell the story of colonialism, of slavery, and, you know, the transatlantic slave trade, all of these different things, all of the transgressions of not only England, but the United States of America. But here we have a retelling that paints this beautiful picture of people of all colors, you know, prancing around during Queen Charlotte and King George's reign. It just wasn't happening. It just wasn't happening like this.
Yeah, I think this is why the show doesn't appeal to me, because it kind of feels like you're entering into the fantasies of a showrunner that wants to look back and project this stuff into history for, you know, I don't want to fill in the gaps for what their motivations may be. So it's either that, or it's just about the romance and the drama and the fashion and things like that. And that's fine. And, you know, on the surface, yeah, this show just doesn't appeal to me for those reasons. Like, I'm currently watching The Last Kingdom on Netflix because it's a period piece of, like, England in, like, the Viking Age, like in 1000 AD. And it's fascinating to me to just, because it's like really puts you in that era historically, and you can kind of imagine they're doing their best to kind of be faithful. You know, they're embellishing here and there, sort of like they did in Gladiator or movies like that. But it really puts you in that era, and you kind of can, you know, just be there and occupy it. But with a show like Bridgerton or Queen Charlotte, it's there's a little bit more going on there. And I don't know what to make of it, because, like you're pointing out, there's these inconsistencies, and you're like, okay, you're trying to insert racial commentary, but if you were doing that at the time, then you still got the colonialism to deal with. And there's too much cognitive dissonance while you're watching it to be able to enjoy it as a historical piece. And so you've got to just enjoy it for the family drama and the relationship drama and the romance and the fashion or something. And that stuff just doesn't appeal to me.
Right. You watch the show and you have to somewhat suspend your disbelief every other scene, because you go, that doesn't make sense. Okay, got to ignore it and got to piece together why that makes sense in this current retelling. Oh, that also doesn't make sense. Okay, I'll just ignore it and we'll piece together for this historic retelling. That doesn't make sense. And then, you know, I'm going to give some spoilers here. So if you intend to watch Queen Charlotte, this is not, you know, the most profound spoiler of the show. So you can keep watching if you'd like. It just depends on how you feel about that. But Queen Charlotte, who is German in descent, she comes over to England to marry King George. And it's remarked upon as the great experiment during the show. And they never really explain exactly what the great experiment is, but they insinuate that they're trying to introduce blackness to, you know, English life. So now Queen Charlotte marries King George and they become this interracial couple. And then we have other semi-black elites like Lady Danbury and Lord Danbury, who are, you know, remarked upon as lords and ladies, but don't have necessarily all the trimmings that come along with having those names. So Lady Danbury and Lord Danbury are constantly trying to make themselves more prevalent throughout the show and gain the same, you know, titles, land, and accommodations as the other ladies and lords. And it's very clearly shown that Queen Charlotte is sort of set in the middle of this battle for a race-conscious, racial equity fight within England in the 17 and 1800s. Like, I'm sorry, but it just wasn't occurring. And of course, a lot of people are gonna say, who cares? And for the most part, this is a fictional story. It doesn't matter all that much, but there is now a large swath of people who truly believe that Queen Charlotte was black. And if you trace back this ancestor that they're talking about that could have been more, you know, the family lineage is also a similar family lineage to King George. Are you going to say King George is black? Is that one, the next movie that we're going to get? We already got, like, what, Black Anne Boleyn? we've got a lot of just race swapping that's happening with history.
Yeah, when you're painting a false picture of history, that's one thing. But I don't know. I was going to say something, but I just forgot my thought. So I'll let you know if I get it back.
Yeah, it's just, it's so weird to just see all this.
Oh, the
pandering.
Fact that it's always one direction is what I was going to say.
Yes.
Like, I don't have a problem with a show like Hamilton, where it's clearly like an artistic spinoff. They have a purpose for why they're putting it in sort of a hip hop-y style and retelling history with a different spin on it. Like, that's artistic license, like, go for it. And I guess Bridgerton and Queen Charlotte is kind of like that. But I will say, the same people who celebrate that and then say, well, you know, it's just, it's not designed to be historically accurate or whatever, they would usually be up in arms if you tried to do the same thing to, like, what if we cast Chris Pratt as Mansa Musa and tried to tell that story, you know? So there, why is it always in the one direction? That's kind of just like a weird thing to me. And it's hard to just dismiss that there's probably an agenda there, whenever you know that if the shoe were on the other foot, so to speak, they wouldn't be for it.
Right. And they, again, they're going to continue to do this. This is going to be something that happens. I just wish they would maybe tell other stories, because it just seems like pandering for pandering's sake and just switching out characters in order to do that. And I do want to show this other clip from this Kelly Clarkson show where they spend much of their time discussing diversity and why it's so important. Here we are.
It's the most amazing thing as well. Yeah. I do hope, I guess my hope is that one day it's not so rare. You know what I'm saying? And it's not an innovative thing, and it's
a person running to the TV going, oh my God, someone that looks like me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I have a little boy that loves to dress up like a princess. He's like, I mean, he'll be a ninja as well, but like, he loves to dress up like Ariel.
And in my house, that's like totally fine, whatever you want to dress up as. And I think that that's all really important. And I feel like it's 2022 and we should, just like what you said, it's about, we're all the same. We all be read, we all want to be loved, we all want to be a part of the story, we all want to be have a seat at the table.
Again, you know, beautiful justification for why you're doing something that is just simply inaccurate. But I just, at what point do we acknowledge that we've met the diversity standards of our time? I am not starved for seeing black or biracial characters on the TV. If anything, now I think we live in an era where the amount of black characters you're seeing on TV outweigh the black population in this country by a large margin now, because we are, I don't know, overcorrecting for something done in the past. So where did we get this narrative that there isn't enough diversity? I see black characters everywhere. Throughout my childhood, also in the early 2000s, there was tons of black characters that I was watching on any given day. I watched the Cheetah Girls on Disney Channel, which were girls of all different ethnicities coming together. The Proud Family, which was essentially an all-black show. That's So Raven, another heavily, black show on TV. And there's many more to be remarked upon that were part of the cultural zeitgeist of the early 2000s, of the late 90s. There's so many. And we still have spun this narrative that there is simply not enough representation for black people. And now we're getting it in just like this forced, you know, shove it down your throat way in everything that we see.
Yeah, the only thing we should be trying to represent is real life. And so when we're engineering a false reality on screen for some motivation to, like you said, overcorrect for the past or to, you know, fight against white supremacy or something like that, then now we're like watching political activism on screen, and it just doesn't resonate. It doesn't feel authentic. It doesn't, you know, map onto people's experience of real life. And like you said, movies in as far back as the 80s and even 70s, like you think about the Cosby Show, shows like back then, it just portrayed real life. And there's been black characters in film for a long time, and that hasn't been this criminal underrepresentation forever, but we're just now acting like that because of just modern political activism. And I can't wait until Hollywood just doesn't care anymore and we go back to just making good stories that are good stories. And if they're about people who happen to be of a certain race, then so be it. But the race swapping just seems tired and unnecessary at this point.
Right. And it's just so clearly like purposeful, like we are just doing this purposefully as opposed to making the story the most important thing that we do. And mind you, these are really talented actors and actresses. Like I said, I'm not saying I don't recommend that you watch Queen Charlotte. By all means, like, go and watch it and you'll see some good acting. Also, I do want to say, this is just a side note, Shonda Rhimes, if you're going to make such a short season of your show, where half of it is like retelling things that you've already seen. The amount of like flashbacks and retakes of an episode from another perspective you get in the show is just does not make sense to me. That's just an aside. Don't do the same episode over again and just tell it from a different perspective, please, on the next season, Shonda. But you'll get a lot of great performances. And again, a very heart-wrenching story that made me cry by the end of the show. Just want to speak to the historical realities, because a lot of people are leaving the show thinking that this is what England looked like at the time. And again, for a political side that is so often remarking about the erasure of history, who's committing it? Because it's not us. It's not us who are like, yeah, let's race swap everything and paint this beautiful picture where, you know, England is not this very strong colonial force, which is exactly what was done in Bridgerton. But you know what? If you can't beat them, join them. This is a new segment I like to call Casting Call. I've decided about some historical biopics that I want to see seen, and I've casted the actors and actresses for you already. Number one, for Oprah Winfrey, I want Drew Barrymore to play Oprah Winfrey in the retelling of her life. You know, hit me up when this becomes a real thing. I will be first in the movie theater to see it. Next, MLK Jr. played by Leonardo DiCaprio. I mean, obvious choice. I think he'd do a really great job telling this story of racial struggle in America and really moving us through the civil rights movement. A very, very powerful actor to take on that role. Marilyn Monroe, obviously Kiki Palmer. Nobody better to play the beautiful Marilyn Monroe. Pope Francis, Samuel L. Jackson. I don't know when he's going to use the F word in his role, as he does in all of his movies. I can't wait to see that. But yes, Pope Francis played by Samuel L. Jackson. Amelia Earhart played by Zendaya.
Of course. Because Zendaya's obviously. You could put Zendaya for every single one of these, actually. Right. We'd be fine with it these days.
Right. We need a girl boss. And Zendaya is the girl boss of our time. And Thomas Jefferson played by Denzel Washington.
Of course.
You know, Washington, yes. Jefferson, it only makes sense.
I asked you guys in the chat to drop yours in here, and someone said Eminem as Tupac.
Oh my gosh, it'd be so
Mr.
great,
T
guys.
Played by Jet Li, Richard Pryor as Winston Churchill. Well done, guys.
Eddie Murphy as Bill Clinton. Yeah, that's what we're gonna do, guys. I can't wait for these movies to come out. And again, this is in our near future with how everything is happening right now. Of course, Jada Pinkett Smith defends herself in the choice to cast a black actress as Queen Cleopatra, which Egyptians are not happy about right now. And I believe there's even a lawyer, an Egyptian lawyer, who is suing Netflix for the inaccurate historical depiction of Queen Cleopatra, which we'll see how that goes. I'm not sure how successful he's going to be. But she blames it on white supremacy. She says white supremacy is responsible for Queen Cleopatra's terrible audience score, and that's why they have that 2% on Rotten Tomatoes. But again, we'll give more details about that on tomorrow's episode. We are going to move on now to some possible breaking news that I just wanted to remark on really quickly, because we don't know whether or not this is true. It is yet to be confirmed. Laura Ingraham has reportedly been fired by Fox News, and they're waiting for formal confirmation by the network, which is crazy, because I believe Tucker and Laura are in the top five or even top three of their highest rated shows on Fox News, both in primetime slots. And if she's been fired, oh my gosh, what direction is the network going in, and why? What is going on? I actually have no speculation as to why this is happening, and maybe what could have went wrong here. Of course, we have the Dominion lawsuit that Fox News settled, and I believe that was what, $787 million they paid to the Dominion Voting Systems Company, and all for their remarks about election fraud and spinning that narrative, apparently, on their show. So could it be linked to that? Maybe. But these are two of their highest grossing shows that now, it seems, have met the chopping block. I don't know much about the background of why she may have been fired for this. All I can tell you is I've enjoyed my once a week slot on Laura Ingraham's show. And in the few times that I've met her in person, she's been a perfectly lovely woman. So I'll be interested to see what comes out in the wake of this. Taylor, any theories?
Any theories?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that did you reference that Project Veritas, or I guess now it's James O'Keefe Media or whatever it is. He did a leak where some Fox employee told him that had to do with the Dominion suit, that why they let Tucker go. But there was some loophole in his contract, and that's why he's able to go on Twitter now, because he was still allowed to like air his opinions on Twitter. So who knows about that side of things, and whether the same dynamic is at play with Laura Ingraham. I am sad to see her go, if for no other reason than, like, I'm not much of a Fox News viewer,
right,
admittedly, but she was always very good to you and kind to you and gave you lots of opportunities for having your news hits, and I thought that was really great. And so that I'm sad to see her go for that reason, and hopefully it's not true, or we'll find out more details. But the only other alternative theory that I could think of is there some kind of institutional capture going on right now because of the BlackRocks and the Vanguards and the need for ESG scores and all this type of stuff? Like, is Fox losing money from advertisers and needing to clean house but if they were doing that, then wouldn't they go after Sean Hannity? Cause all those people hate him too. So who knows, man? It seems like a mess. It seems like a massive self-immolation going on over there right now. And we'll just have to, I guess, see what happens, because historically Fox has just dominated all of the ratings, but will they be able to maintain that position with losing some of their key talent?
Yeah, we shall see. This could be just a revolution at Fox News where everything is going to change. I did hear somebody report that maybe Sean Hannity was going to be taking the same time slot as Tucker Carlson, and that was going to be how the primetime slots shifted. I don't know what's going to happen now that Ingraham is out, if she is out. Again, we're waiting for confirmation. So we shall see. In other news, Elon Musk was on the news recently and was asked about how his tweets affect his advertisers and how much money he gets and whether or not he takes that into account. That was on CNBC. Here is the very powerful clip of him responding to that.
You know, do your tweets hurt the company? Are there Tesla owners who say, I don't agree with his political position because I know it because he shares so much of it? Or are there advertisers on Twitter that Linda Yaccarino will come and say, you got to stop, man, or, you know, I can't get these ads because of some of the things you tweet?
Long silence.
He's really thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm reminded of the scene in The Princess Bride. Great movie. Where he confronts the person who killed his father. And he says, offer me money. Offer me power. I don't care.
See, you just don't care. You want to share what you have to say?
I'll say what I want to say, and if the consequence of that is losing money, so be it.
Okay.
Sometimes that's exactly what you need. Somebody who's just going to lay it down and say, I want to say my opinion, and I'm going to exercise the right that I have to do so. And if you don't like it, so be it. And the background of just that question of, don't you think that this is hurting you, or don't you think this is going to stop advertisers or business from coming your way? It's a very consequentialist way to think about the world. And what I mean by that is that this reporter is far more concerned with the consequences of actions and speaking truth than he is about whether or not the truth is said out loud. So if you view the world in that way of being scared of consequences all the time, there is no incentive to tell the truth. There is no incentive to be bold and share your opinion to a world, because regardless of what your opinion is, if it's left, if it's right, if it's center, there's going to be somebody who doesn't like it. So why not say it at all? Why not have the debate? Why not? Why even come forward and engage in conversation with people if you're scared of consequences? That would be a rule for everybody if you want to live in this like consequentialist hellscape where nobody ever gets to say what they truly think. And for Elon to go, I don't care, money, power, whatever, which he's managed to amass anyways, he's saying, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to go forward and I'm going to say my opinion, and that's what should be done in this country. So good for him.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you hit the nail on the head that he, a representative of MSNBC, is sitting there like, you would speak your mind and speak honestly and say what you believe to be true, even if you were going to lose advertisers and lose money. That's
right,
crazy.
Right.
And like the irony of doing that on MSNBC, where you're like, I can't believe someone would dare do that and speak their mind, even if they meant losing money. You're just kind of exposing the fact that that's the world that you live in, and that's how you think, and that how that industry works is, hey, we're going to do what we got to do to please our advertisers and make sure that the government likes us and the regulators. And we're going to toe the line with BlackRock and our owners. And there's so many people that you have to filter your messaging through that any shred of authenticity is lost. And that's why people are going to places like Joe Rogan and getting their news on Twitter, because it's unfiltered there. And even though there's maybe more crazy things that need to be fact checked on there, they're allowing that to happen, and people are allowed to duke it out in the free market of ideas and use their free speech to challenge each other. And I recently saw that Elon and Twitter lost something in the neighborhood of $20 million for community notes on a specific advertiser's tweets. And he stood by those. And I think that long term, that's going to pay off.
Yeah. And I think, of course, it should be acknowledged that Elon is already in a position of money and power. So he does have a little bit of cushion, not more than a little bit of cushion, to say exactly what he wants to say at any given moment. And that should be acknowledged. Some people don't. But the fact that you have somebody at CNBC saying this just blatantly, he's saying the quiet part out loud, guys, that's actually so scary. Yeah. That you have somebody who's supposed to give you objectivity and supposed to share with you what is truly happening going, you say what you really think? That is wild, guys. Oh my gosh. And it shouldn't be a powerful statement for him to say, yeah, I don't care about money, I don't care about power, I'm just saying what I think. That shouldn't be something that's wild to say. But in today's market of just ideas and journalism and news, it is. It's so weird. I was watching, you guys know I like Succession, so I watched episode 8. There's 2 episodes left in this season, and episode 8 was all surrounding the election and, you know, the stuff that happens behind the scenes when these things are happening and what journalists choose to report and what news organizations choose to put out and what they don't. And it's really fascinating to see. Of course, they're looking at this from a more like right-wing, they're showing the more right-wing end of things, because this is supposed to be a depiction of the Murdoch family. But the stuff that's happening in that show, even though it's very fictional, is a pretty clear depiction of probably what is happening at most news organizations, where they just pick and choose what they want you to see and what feeds their own agenda. So it's scary to see it play out fictionally, let alone know that it's happening in the real world. Oh my gosh. Are any other Succession fans in the chat? Drop it down below. I'd like to see. Taylor, you're also not watching that show, have you?
No, but that is on my list. I'm open to that one.
Okay.
I would watch that before Queen Charlotte.
Yeah. Sure. Cam, have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. I hear CJ watches it right next to my desk all the time. But I don't
so you hear
it.
A little bit. I know Scott, who when he's in the producer's bay, we could have had a deep conversation about Succession. Maybe we'll do it when the show's over, since this is the last season. Let's see, what other piece of news do we want to get into today? I might do this Aubrey Plaza video. I just think this is so silly. PETA, which I know a lot of you think PETA, like, when was the last time we heard anything from PETA? I thought they like super glued themselves into oblivion. No, they're back. Aubrey Plaza apparently did an advertisement for Big Milk. That's what they're calling it. And PETA tweeted out, "We couldn't have said it better ourselves. So disappointing to see you promoting an abusive and destructive industry, Aubrey Plaza." So apparently she did an ad where she promotes drinking milk, and it's sort of this satirical. We'll play it for you so you guys can see exactly what it is we're talking about.
You ever looked at a tree and thought, can I drink this? You ever looked at a tree and thought, can I drink this? I did. Hi, I'm Aubrey Plaza, co-founder of Wood Milk, the world's first and only milk made from wood. Here at Wood Milk Orchards, we're certain that our artisanal wood milk will be the only milk you'll want to drink for the rest of your life. Why? Because I said so. Our wood milk is bottled right here in the forest where the trees hit the dirt, which locks in the flavors like cherry, maple, and of course mahogany. And if you can't pick your favorite, that's okay, because they all taste like wood. Here's how wood milk is born. Not born, exactly. More like squished into a slime that's legal to sell. Let's give it a try. Got wood? Is wood milk real? Absolutely not. Only real milk is real. Then what did I invest in?
So that's the ad, right? And it says, is your milk real? Okay, for like, I don't care about milk. I'm going to be honest. I don't have any strong opinions. I'm an almond milk drinker myself. So I can't even believe this has become something that people have such great controversy around. But Bon Appetit did this whole article about how she did this and saying that Big Milk has probably paid Plaza huge bucks to convince the youth to please drink dairy. The viral spoof was created by the Milk Processor Education Program, which I didn't even know existed, which sounds like a wholesome after-school activity, but is actually an industry marketing firm funded by big dairy producers in the very same group that came up with the iconic Got Milk campaign, which ran from the 1990s to 2014. So PETA's pissed, apparently Bon Appetit is pissed that that Aubrey Plaza would do something like this. Here's the video that PETA tweeted out.
Hi, I'm Aubrey Plaza, co-founder of Wood Milk, the world's first and only milk made from wood. Here's how wood milk is born. Not born, exactly. More like squished into a slime that's legal to sell.
All these people tweeting, Big Dairy got you. Oh no, you're doing dairy? Yikes. Paid for by the dairy industry. I'm so disappointed, Aubrey. Now, I don't have a hot take here. Like I said, almond milk drinker. I think Taylor's a dairy milk drinker.
I'm a real milk drinker, yes.
Cam?
Chocolate milk drinker.
Chocolate milk drinker, because you can't stand the real thing. And it's just so interesting how people get so pissed over like what these celebrities get to do. Maybe my hot take is I don't like to see celebrities do brand endorsements of any kind. Like, I hate to watch any celebrity who I'm watching in shows sell out to like sell a watch or like Gucci something or like a fragrance. But I mean, that's hypocritical because you got to do sponsorships and stuff in these businesses. I personally just watch it and I go like, didn't want to see that.
My hot take would be kudos to Aubrey Plaza for doing this, because you know it's going to be something that's offensive. And I don't know, it seems like the more progressive Hollywood sensibility would be anti-milk for whatever reason, anti-real milk, and pro, you know, soy milk or nut milk of some sort. So she put herself out there a little bit. I'm sure if we went through the checklist of all the political opinions, Aubrey would fall on the left side of the spectrum. But, you know, kudos for a comedian to just play ball and be a comedian and do this campaign. So I'll give her credit for that, at least.
I would not have guessed that this was going to be something offensive, but I guess like that's dumb of me in the modern era to not know that this would be something that would offend a group of people. I did not think that doing an ad like this would be something crazy. So weird.
I put a poll in the chat for you guys. What's your milk? Real milk, almond milk, soy milk, or other? 64% of you are real ones who drink real milk. Almond milk 18%, soy milk 3%, which I knew it was going to be a tiny, tiny fraction who are soy milk drinkers in our audience.
But 13% said other. That's interesting.
Yeah, so either that or no milk.
Yeah, I mean, I just can't get behind cow's
milk. Coconut
milk
is
so
a big
sorry.
One, I guess.
Coconut milk is a big one. That is true. Cashew milk is a big one. There's like there's a ton of milks out there now.
Lactose free milk. I don't know where that stands. Oat milk. I forgot.
Lactose free is still cow's milk, I'm pretty sure.
That's true.
I just cannot drink milk from a cow. I'm sorry. I don't know what it is. I just think it's gross.
It's nourishing and delicious. I love it.
I don't have anything else to remark on this. I just thought you guys would want to know that PETA is mad at Aubrey Plaza.
It's always funny when PETA gets mad. But, you know, that's just, I'm sorry. It just is. Whether they're gluing themselves to things or tweeting up a storm about Aubrey Plaza, it's just funny.
And you know what? PETA has some valid arguments to make. They just do it so delusionally that I can't support, you know, anything that they do. I just can't do it. If you're like pouring blood on yourself and putting yourself in meat packaging and laying on the street, I can't. There's some valid stuff and criticism for like factory farming and just what we're doing to animals these days. But this, it's their marketing that I don't know what to to do.
It's cringe, bruh. It's cringe.
We're going to get into super chats, guys. I don't have anything else to tell you today.
All righty. Let's get into it. Andrea Holland is kicking us off today. Hi, Amla. I've been watching you for a long time, and this is my first time catching a live. I lean left, but I love watching so I can be well-rounded.
Oh, thank you. I love to hear from our left-leaning audience. Love it. Thank you guys for watching.
Yes, we are. You are exactly who we want. And Cam, can you do the view with Amala and, yeah, me in the bubble? You got it. Yeah, you're ahead. There we go.
It was stuck on me for some reason.
Oh, no. Yeah. We can show you, too. That's fine. Our Father Paprika says, the only queen I recognize is Amala.
Thanks, guys.
That's a good one.
Thanks, guys. I'll be in the next reboot of Queen Charlotte, playing Queen Charlotte. We do somewhat look alike, you know? I could see it happening. We do have very similar hair, if you look at that picture, guys.
You could be Charlotte, Cleopatra, Elizabeth. I mean, anything that they're making these days.
I promise you guys that I will not sell out to play a historically inaccurate role. I won't do it.
Fair enough. What if it's like a theater artistic spinoff? Then you're good, right?
Probably not.
Your theater kid's going to come alive now.
I will wait for an actual better role.
Look at that artistic integrity, guys.
Thank you, guys.
We knew she had it.
By guys, I mean Taylor.
It's all right. Lex says, have you ever heard of Queen Amanerenus of Nubia? She commanded over 30,000 soldiers in the ancient kingdom of Kush and successfully resisted Roman rule. She was black, ruled during the same time as Cleopatra. Make that film.
Yeah, why not? Okay, here she is. She looks badass. Look at that. Nubian queen. Okay. Slay. Yeah, why not? Just find some. I don't know much, you know. I'm not a history buff myself, so you couldn't really.
See, I am. That would appeal to me more than Bridgerton or whatever, because I'm like, okay, this is actually something to learn from history. So right. By all means, let's do it.
Please put it out there and see who watches it.
But great idea, Lex. Thank you for that. Dixon Butts says, I don't know what's worse, this or the Norse Viking in the Viking series, the Black Norse Viking in the Viking series. Yeah, in the new Vikings of Valhalla on Netflix, they made like this black queen who they had some backstory. And I think there's some like shred of history that they're using to justify it. But it's also like, oh, we found this shred of history. Let's make it this giant thing in the show. And she's got all these like woman warriors and kind of lost me. Just pushed it a little too hard, too much.
Literally what Queen Charlotte did. Literally. Yeah.
So tragic, though, because I love my Viking shows. HR says, whitewashing isn't okay. Blackwashing isn't okay either. The hypocrisy of the woke left is the problem. Why can't we have more original black characters?
Yeah, or just make it, you know, an all's fair in love and war, and you can just black and white and Hispanic and Asian wash everything so that nobody knows what anybody looked like ever. You know what? If you truly want to be like race neutral, and then why not have, I saw this thing, Terry Crews play Snow White. Why not? Yeah. That's race and gender neutral.
Yeah. All right. UROG Gumpfil 79. Sorry, that's a tough one. Hey, Amala, I'd love to see you as the queen of the effing Commonwealth. Who needs this old cis white male on the throne? Am I right?
Right. You know, I just think we just switch everything up, right? So just nobody knows what happened ever.
I'm picking up a common thread in our feedback and super chats today is that people are generally the common sense position. We're against the race swapping, unless it's Amala. MP Jumper says, after watching you for months, I just came to verify the lyric of the intro, Wavy Type by Apollo. It is, in fact, Young Apollo with the what, followed by instrumental distorting.
What did I tell you? What did I tell you? Those are the lyrics.
See, we've been saying that. I knew it was like Apollo something that made the song, but it is dope, though. Amala found that song and just happened to find one where that sounds like they're saying something unapologetic or Amala sounding. So. Right.
Just stumbled across it.
It slaps.
It does slap.
JCL says, hey, Amala, I was wondering if you can ask Candace Owens to maybe start doing lives, maybe with you. Love your show.
Hey, I mean, I don't really have a direct line to Candace Owens, but doesn't she do podcasts? She has a podcast YouTube channel.
Yep, she's got her channel now, but I think she premieres her episodes. Yeah, okay,
yeah, maybe
not,
it's pre-recorded.
They're not actual live streams.
Gotcha. Well, doesn't she do... access live access with Daily Wire. I think all the Daily Wire personalities, if you are subscribed, you live access shows once a week. I don't know if Candace is part of that.
Look I think at me, they need to pay you work you, there. Your plug in there.
Yeah, I don't even work there, and I know more. not sponsored. I'm just thinking that's how
if you guys
want
to sponsor us, Daily Wire, how funny would that be? All right. Ice Vice says, hey, Amala Taylor and Cam, haven't been able to catch a live before, but absolutely love the show. Also, Cam, I've been seeing your TikToks. So funny.
Oh, look at that, Cam.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
He's a star. Right. I knew about Cam before I even worked here and before I was even doing TikToks because I found him. He had like 1 million followers and then he got banned for like the 80th time.
Sad story.
Sad story.
Yeah, wasn't it Republican Hype House or something like that? You were running that whole conglomerate, a TikTok or part of it?
We had one that was like the conservative Hype House. So cringe.
Yeah.
Like, nothing to do with it.
The OG right of center political TikTokers over here. All right. Stevie Capone says, almond milk? Almonds don't have boobies. Haha, almond milk is still pretty good.
I mean, we can call it something different. I totally understand. My grandpa says the same thing. You can't milk an almond. But it just tastes good.
It just weirds me out. Like, what are you doing to an almond to get it into that state? I kind of don't want to know.
Pretty sure they just blend it with water and then they, strain it.
I guess it's hypocritical of me because I'm like a big coffee drinker and they do something weird to coffee to get it in that state.
See, there you go.
I just refuted my own argument.
There you go.
April for Grace, not even real milk? Can anything be real anymore?
Not even real milk? I'm not understanding.
Maybe it was like, not even real milk? You can't have
the wrong
word was capitalized.
The inflection was wrong. Yeah. Okay. No, you're absolutely right. You can't, not even milk can be real anymore. We've got got trans
milk. Trans milk. That's what almond milk is.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Oh dear. Stop appropriating milk culture. Okay, I'm done. Daisy says, the problem with darker skin color is with the beauty industry ideals. Casting other race as a white person is just feeding more into white supremacy.
Wait, I'm confused.
I think she's saying when you're race swapping, you're feeding more into the idea that one
because they can't just have like right because they can't just have black characters. Yeah, that would make sense to me. And I mean, like, yeah, there's room. Like I said, there's room for black stories. Just do them. Oh my gosh. Or okay, you know, if Queen Charlotte race swapped these characters and just did the show, and it wasn't like a clear structure in the show where they're having these like ongoing battles over race and she's like a representative of like black, you know, English people. Maybe that's a little bit of a different story. It makes it a little bit better for me if you just like leave it and don't mention it. But it was just mentioned constantly, constantly, constantly throughout the entire show.
Nanny Bear says, from Ireland, love your content, milk in my coffee. Been listening to you and getting out, growing veggies, lots of flowers, shine brightly, walk lightly. Oh, this was like a poetic one.
Oh my gosh. Thank you.
Is she saying like, you're the milk in her coffee? Or is that like just part of the poem? I don't know.
I don't know.
I appreciate it, Nanny Bear.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Beautiful.
Alex Santeus, what's going on, man? Hey there, gang. Amala, are you going to be on the Whatever podcast again? I would love to see you debate Jay Waller, the guy who debated Lila Rose.
Oh gosh. Oh, I had another clip from him on that show. Is he the guy who's like the self-control guy?
The suit guy, yeah.
We can play that clip. I'm not planning on going on anytime soon just because I don't want to drive 4 hours to do the show. I'm going to be totally honest. It is a 4-hour trek and I simply don't feel like it. Here is the clip.
Human condition is that things aren't always amazing. We have bad days, we get sick, terrible accidents can happen. And so that's where the power of love comes in, a love that doesn't leave, a love that isn't based on feelings or desire, but a love that's based on choice. And I think deep down, we're all wired for that. Even men that like you were saying, Justin, like, I wanna be with multiple women and everything. I think deep down we want a love that stays, a love that lasts. And it is possible for everyone, every single person at this table. I guarantee you 1,000% it is possible for you.
Not for asexual people.
Yeah, but I would argue that, like, who are you to tell me that I'm not going to be happy because I don't choose
your... Okay, first of all, let me just rebut that really quick. Asexual just means you don't want to have, you know, sex with somebody. It doesn't mean that you don't want love from other people and that you can't make the conscious choice to love somebody else. anyways.
Your path. Yes. Who are you to say that?
I will say.
Or do you think I'm going to be less happy than you?
I think that if you live your life and you said you're not sharing whether or not you're doing this, so we're all talking in hypotheticals. Right. But if hypothetically you live your life where you are starting multiple families with multiple women.
What if I have one family and 50 girlfriends?
I think in the end it will bring great unhappiness to your family, to your children, to the mother of your children, and to you.
What if I have one wife and 50 girlfriends? Right. How could that possibly bring about unhappiness? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it just sounds like so wholesome when Lila's perspective. And to me, it just kind of exposes how shallow the thinking is, that if I can just collect women and do whatever I want as a man, then be this top dog or whatever, then I'll be happy. And it's like, yeah, but that's temporary for one, and it also leaves out the trail of destruction and broken relationships and abandoned children that you may leave in your wake.
Yeah, imagine how the kids of a man with 50 girlfriends alongside his wife turn out. It's selfish, in my opinion. It's just at that point you simply are like so selfish that you don't care about the repercussions of your own actions and your own like moving throughout the world. And that's okay if that's what you are, but don't like sell it to people and say this is what self-control looks like and like this is what happiness looks like. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, and is it okay if that's what you are too, though? It's kind of like, I mean, it's, you don't want to like judge people's individual choices,
right,
but like you're saying,
right.
If you're out there preaching at people and you're living a lifestyle that's causing others harm and preaching a lifestyle that perpetuates harm, then it's not a good thing, man. And we're right to reject it. And that's where there's this weird fear or opposition to having norms of any kind in modern culture, I feel like. And a lot of these norms exist for a reason, like the norm of making a family and being present, being a good, faithful husband and being a present father. Like those are good norms to have, and they're not oppressing you. It's actually pointing you in the direction of how to be happy and how to create long-term fulfillment and how to build a foundation for things to be built on top of your life that other people can benefit from and that society can benefit from. And it's just unfortunate to me that we devalue that now. And it's all just anyone can do whatever they want. It's like, well, until you figure out something that actually produces better results, then I don't really want to hear it.
It's because we live in like me culture now. Like never have we been so like self-centered, and that's fine if that's your worldview, right? There are certainly people who think like life is simply about living through your own like hedonistic self-serving tendencies and stuff, and that's, if that's your worldview, then you're living by your worldview. But my goodness, never has it been so pervasive as it is now.
Indeed. All right, we got all worked up about that one, but, thanks Alex for sending us down that rabbit hole. Dixon Butts again: I've never been into celebrities, but kind of embarrassed about this. I always thought Aubrey Plaza was a place. Is that objectification?
I mean, it very well could be a place. You never
know. A place isn't an object, though, so it wouldn't be objectification. It would be locationification.
Right. I guess you could argue a plaza is somewhat of an object. Can you? Can you? A plaza?
Made of objects. It's
made of objects. Well, we're not going to go down this rabbit hole. That's a whole different time for a whole different thing for another day.
Oh, but appreciate that one. fun fact, I saw Aubrey Plaza one time at a coffee shop in Silver Lake, which was almost this old neighborhood.
That was.
But, yeah, I didn't talk to her, though, because that's weird if you do that.
It's not totally weird. If you guys see me out, you guys can say hi. I don't do it because I'm just like, what is this for?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to be like, I like Parks and Rec. She's like, okay, big shocker. No one's ever come up to me and said that before. I was like two spots behind her in line.
She would be chill to meet. I would be intimidated because like Aubrey Plaza has so many like different energies and she's kind of like an oddball. I wonder what energy you would receive from her on any given day.
I think that's the other thing. Her character, like April Ludgate, was like, I want to kill you for talking to me. So I think you get a little bit of that.
She's kind of like that in real life. Yeah.
Who knows? Yeah, I don't want to. She was great in the set, so I'll give her that.
Okay,
Donkey says, my dog is wearing a hat right now. I put it as my profile picture. Okay.
Heck yeah.
I zoomed in on it.
Distinguished gentleman.
Yes. Imagination Junkie, have you ever had kefir? It's like a delicious drinkable yogurt. I recommend it. Keep up the great work, guys. Love, love, love the show.
It's kefir, I'm pretty sure, Taylor. You're so uncultured.
Oh, my bad.
No, I will not drink that because even though it's like, the health person in me, the health conscious person in me was like, you know, it has probiotics and all this stuff and like acidophilus and all this in there. I don't like, it's kind of like fermented gross yogurt stuff. I'm sure it tastes fine. But
do you drink kombucha?
I have had kombucha. I don't drink it now, but I there's an element of like, I can stomach it if you really want me to drink it, or if like I'm really feeling like I need probiotics right now. But it's just like there's an element in my brain that I can't jump over the part of the fermented mold like you know, element of these drinks.
Sure.
I don't know what it is. It's just
I'm a big
gymnastics.
Greek yogurt guy. Lately I haven't been, but I used to have Greek yogurt like every single morning for breakfast. And I'd like to tell myself that that had some positive effect on my
your
ability to digest things.
Right.
Yeah. Cause I rarely have stomach issues, and I also attribute that to being a milk drinker. So, anyways, that Delia girl says gifts arrive today. One Studio Ghibli item and one shirt regarding race swapping. Oh, well, one Studio Ghibli item and one shirt. Regarding race swapping, it's more believable if the actor looks like the character, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. 100% is more, like, realistic and, like, lets you actually sit in the time period that you're watching, which is part of, like, what theater and movies and shows are for, is the escapism and being able to, like, set yourself in a different time. I will look out. Normally, if I get packages, our friend here at PragerU will bring them over to my desk. I don't see them. But she doesn't check every day. I don't think she checks the mail every day. So as soon as I get them, I'll let you know. And thank
you. We'll check
I'm
the
so
mail
excited.
And make sure we show it off.
I'm so very excited.
Daisy says, I acknowledge dairy industry is a huge problem, but I've not been able to replace my real milk, especially with coffee.
Yeah, I mean,
we're not throwing any stones here. At least I'm not.
Yeah, I think like, I wish there was a movement among like farming to make it a little bit more ethical and whatever that means and how that looks. Is yet to happen, but I think you can hopefully simultaneously, you know, hold both opinions and still drink milk.
And I'm sure like the store brand milk might be made a little worse than the more expensive ones. I know like certain different ice cream brands or whatever have certain practices that are more quality. So I don't know, maybe you get what you pay for. You can just do your research. I haven't done that research yet, so I don't know.
No.
But
raw milk's becoming a really big thing. I know that like they're selling that at like farmers markets. I think some people have to do it under the table because like legally you're not allowed to sell raw milk in some areas, but I see a big movement surrounding that, and I think it's gonna change. Just I think the way we are viewing food is currently going through somewhat of like a cultural renaissance right now. I'm seeing way more people who are just like waking up to the types of food that they're eating, how these like big food industries are affecting our health and stuff like that. So I think we're on the precipice of stuff like that changing.
See, the raw milk thing kind of grosses me out. And it seems like there's a weird excitement about it especially among like young conservative women. But I haven't looked into it. Maybe it's a legit thing.
I think it's legit.
You know.
I don't know. Yeah. I think it's legit. I've never tried it and I will not because I don't want to drink cow's milk. But to each their own.
Alas, to each their own indeed. All right. Nick Tyler says, thoughts on those who think that people who boycott Bud Light should also boycott Taylor Swift. Saw a post on socials claiming hypocrisy if you have a problem with Bud Light but not Swift. Preakness Stakes 2023 picks. Who you got?
This
is
the
Kentucky Derby guy.
Oh, the Kentucky Derby.
So we gotta figure out our picks.
For what?
For Preakness Stakes. I guess that's the next big horse race.
When is that? How do you spell it?
Preakness.
Oh,
we need
okay.
To find
the, as far as the Taylor Swift thing, I don't know what the draw is. Has Taylor Swift done some endorsement of transgenderism? I'm not quite familiar or filled in on that. I think we all, you know, make judgments as they come to us. I am not necessarily a supporter of Taylor Swift. Don't really listen to her music. Are you meaning like her Eras tour and people who are buying tickets? I think it's sort of like a risk versus benefit analysis that people do on that. I would probably venture to say that most of Taylor Swift's fans are left-leaning. So they would support exactly what it is that she's saying and doing. So I don't know.
Yeah, once you go down the boycotting rabbit hole, it's like hard to find anything that you can still purchase or enjoy or support.
Right.
At some point, every company has done something that is contrary to your values. But I like the Matt Walsh, Charlie Kirk approach that they're doing right now with the Bud Light thing. They're like, hey, okay, these companies do this stuff all the time. Let's pick one and make an example out of them. And I was kind of skeptical at first, but given how much their sales have cratered and the stigma and all the social media buzz about it, it's, there's been legit articles in New York Times talking about how they're, it's affecting them. So it's a real thing. Now they're like putting camo cans and Harley Davidson cans out to try to like change their image and pivot. We did a video on Miller yesterday, by the way, guys, if you're into this stuff. So, yeah. But anyways, I do think that that may be effective and make an example. And I do think that a lot of companies are sweating right now coming up on Pride Month because they're like, what do we do?
It's getting hot in here. Yeah. Here are the contenders for Preakness 148, I think, here. National Treasure, Chase the Chaos, Mage, Coffee with Chris, Red Route 1, Perform, Blazing Sevens, and First Mission.
I want National Treasure all day. You want
National Treasure? Movie. Let me just inspect the coats on these horses. I don't know anything about this.
But guys, if you're watching what this Nick Tyler, I think it is, gives us bets money on horses on our behalf.
Yeah.
And did so in the Kentucky Derby. And producer Scott nailed the winner and got bet like $5 and paid out 70 or something. So
yeah, which was Mage. Dope. Which was Mage. Should I go for Mage for that or should I change it up? Seven is my favorite number. Maybe I should go for Blazing Sevens, but he's looking a little crusty dusty in this photo. Maybe it's just, you know how the race was looking that day. I'm going to go with Blazing Sevens and Taylor's going with National Treasure. In lieu of Scott, Cam, do you have, Scott not being here, Cam, do you have a pick?
I don't know anything about this, but the one with Chaos in his name sounds like
Chase the Chaos.
Cool name. So.
Okay, so Chase the Chaos, National Treasure, and Blazing Sevens. Those are the choices.
There we go. We're on the record. All right, thanks, Nick. Mama C says, with jobs being lost for a lack of proper pronoun usage and fines being placed, where's the justice for true slur words? True derogatory terms are okay, but ma'am, thrown in jail or fined. Help.
I'm just done with categorizing words as slurs. You know, I understand it's all about intent and how words are used. I don't think you can just like outright label an entire term as being like being a slur. I think it always depends on context. And it's just unfortunate that we are in like these just speech squabbles about how something was used, why it was used, what's offensive, what's inoffensive. Just allow people to say whatever they want and deal with the consequences that happen right in front of them. None of this like making things illegal or prosecuting people or all this different stuff. It's just crazy. Just or firing them. Unless you are going out and saying something that's like blatantly racist and hurting your business or whatever, then you can fire whoever you want. But my gosh.
Chill pill, everybody.
Chill pill.
Mortgage in the void, or morgue in the void. Sorry, basically the same thing. can you all say this as fast as possible, please? What noise annoys an oyster? A noisy noise annoys an oyster.
I can't read it, so I don't know where that is. So Taylor, you're taking the heat of that challenge.
I did pretty good. Should I try it fast one more time?
Yeah, I'll do it.
What noise annoys an oyster? A noisy noise annoys an oyster.
What noise annoys an oyster? What noise annoys an oyster? Was that
a noisy noise annoys an oyster.
Oh, a noisy noise annoys an oyster. I said that I had an extra oyster at the end of there. A noisy noise annoys an oyster.
It's like one of those the sounds you produce.
Seashells down the seashore.
Run together, yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite one is it a nice cold glass of milk or an ice cold glass of milk? An ice cold glass, an ice cold glass. Say it both ways, casually. It sounds exactly
it
the same. It's indistinguishable.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I love the language
love
games. Thank
play.
You for that. Morgue in the void. Polysemia says, hey, from the UK, love you guys. Have you seen the comments Nora Elzini has received on her video commenting on Queen Cleopatra? She has done a video reading them out. If you guys haven't, you should definitely cover it.
I'll check it out. I don't even know who that is.
I've seen that name on Twitter or somewhere. Was she an actress? But
no idea.
You know, say, all right, we'll look into it. Thank you, Polysemia.
Thank you.
Amy Jo says, love the show. I'm over here with my four kids napping and beating a pair of earrings. I'd love to send you an unapologetic bracelet. Where to send?
Oh, let me pull up our P.O. box for those of you who are interested in sending anything our way. There it is. That's the mailing address. You guys can write that down if you'd like to. No anthrax, please, as I always say.
And if you're listening or need to go back later, it's prageru.com/contact has the mailing address that you can send stuff to us through. Nanny Bear says, "In a milk in my coffee, shine brightly, walk lightly." Oh, that's
this is a poem one. Yeah, thank you.
Just spitting bars here about milk and coffee and all this great stuff. I love it. Alex again says, I think the red pill identifies many of the problems plaguing men in today's world, but they prescribe a really bad life choice. Nuclear family for the win.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm with you there, man. One more. Alex says, hey, I loved watching your Los Americanos series. Will that be coming back at all? Would you guys ever consider doing a Spanglish podcast?
Is that the PragerU series?
That was a series that we did a couple years ago at PragerU called Americanos. It's still on the website. I think it kind of got molded into Stories of Us. Mm-hmm. So we have another series called Stories of Us where we just bring on random people who maybe had their mind changed or just telling their stories. Anyways, you can check that out. But so I think we're still doing it technically, just not branding it as Americanos, just Latina or Latino people, Latinx people who... come on, Stories of Us would be your Americanos. And as far as a Spanglish podcast, yo no sé.
We would love to get our show.
Español, podemos hablar en español en el podcast.
There we go. Everything I say, I'll just have Taylor repeat it in Spanish. That's how we'll do the show.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Journey of an Introvert. Random, but did you know the former lead singer of Blink-182 is now a UFO researcher for the Pentagon? Childhood dreams come true twice in one lifetime, LOL.
Interesting.
That's like my favorite super chat ever.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
That is legitimately fascinating, and I love the energy and the joke. Like, childhood dreams come together twice in one lifetime.
You can do whatever you want in this life, and that is proof right there. All you got to do is pursue it.
Yeah. I mean, that is inspirational. White pill content right there. Janae says, I'm over the 5-minute private jet flights these celebrities are doing. Why do I have to drink from a paper straw then?
Hey, you know, they just got to make it even, right? If they're allowed to do that, you should be allowed. But no, we live in the age of hypocrisy. So unfortunately, here we are.
I have a very strong personal vendetta against paper straws.
You'll never see Taylor more pissed than when he sits at a restaurant and he's handed a paper straw.
Yeah, I throw it away. I take an extra one so I can throw that one away. Stevie Capone says, I think Curly Boy Chuck would be a fun guest to have on the show. He's a rising conservative voice. He credits you for helping him leave the left.
Yeah, I saw his video where he did that, which was really nice. I sent that Taylor's way. We might have him on the show down the line. I think that'd be a great guest. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And Amala's, that's like the world coming full circle when you had people influence your...
I know. So weird. Pill.
Yeah.
So weird.
Daniel James, hi from Korea. Love your content. Always interesting to see what's going on in the U.S.
Thank you.
It's crazy over here.
We try to keep you posted.
You know, we're aboard the ship as it's on fire, so we'll keep you apprised of the situation.
Well, today we visited the U.K., okay? Queen Charlotte. That's true. Are you kidding me?
Y'all got some crazy stuff out there, too. Nick Tyler, again, post I saw on social media made a claim that a lyric in one of Taylor Swift's songs. Oh, they're explaining what that was about. Said, why are you mad when you could be glad? GLAAD. Allies to her LGBTQ plus minus ampersand percent pound ampersand or at symbol. So if you disagree with Bud Light, you disagree with T Swift. Got your picks. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that is true. If you disagree, I mean, if you disagree with Bud Light, you disagree with half of Hollywood, not even half of Hollywood, 90% of Hollywood, 90% of music executives and creators, 90% of anybody really that you're seeing in these sort of more artistic, marketing focused industries, you probably disagree with all of them. So it would become probably a time where you wouldn't be listening to music. I said. But yeah, when you see these, it's just a case by case basis, I think. And especially when Bud Light was getting so much momentum, I think that was a big reason that a lot of people, hopped behind.
Yeah. And I just saw the stories trending today on conservative Twitter that Target now has this whole line, which I think they've done in the past.
They do every year, yeah.
The latest Pride, you know, month outfits dropped, and they have like kid shirts that have pronouns on them and trans stuff. And they had chest binders last year, 2 years ago. So that was even worse. But you know, it's getting tough to be able to justify supporting anything if you want to be consistent. But yeah. Alas, I think we're caught up on Super Chats. That's it for today.
All right, guys. Well, then that makes up our show. We discussed Queen Charlotte, Jada Pinkett Smith, the possible firing of Laura Ingraham from Fox News, and Elon Musk on CNBC talking about his activity on Twitter and his ability to state his opinion. Guys, if you have any thoughts, I guess we also touched on Aubrey Plaza and milk. If you have any hot takes about milk, you can drop it in the comments down below. As always, we encourage healthy debates, so duke it out, but respectfully. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we're live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Plus, we're on Spotify podcast. You can watch on Spotify. Isn't that cool? We now have our videos integrated there. We're also on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Anywhere you can find us, we will be there. Guys, that's it. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you tomorrow with a video on Queen Cleopatra, where we break down that controversy and its 2% Rotten Tomatoes score. Oof, tomato, tomato, tomato. That's tomorrow's video, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. We'll see you then. Bye, guys.